This podcast is brought to you by the Microsoft Partner Team in Switzerland to give you an insight into our diverse partner landscape and how those partnerships can benefit your business. We invite one Microsoft partner in every episode to deep dive into their offering and how the joint value proposition benefits our customers. We want to provide information beyond the flashy marketing and PR material and dive into the actual content. Please like, share, and subscribe. My name is Thomas Winter. I'm the partner lead at Microsoft Switzerland. My co-host is Philippe Moras, channel sales lead at Microsoft Switzerland. And it is our honor today to welcome Marcin Pietrzyk, founder and CEO of Unit 8, to our podcast. Hey, Marcin. Great to have you here today.
Hi, Marcin. It's also from my side, great to have you here.
Very pleased to be here. Thank you very much.
Great. So as always, we start with a few questions about who are you as a person, as a company, and things like that. And then Philippe, in the second part, goes a bit deeper on the actual business proposition. So let's start with you. Who are you?
Yeah, so engineer from background, I guess entrepreneur in my heart. I studied and lived in several countries, starting from Poland, Norway, Spain, France, finally Switzerland. And I, broadly speaking, cover three main areas. One is tech, another one is entrepreneurship. And I also have quite a lot of experience in the corporate world where I've been in executive roles for a number of years.
Cool. And who are you as a company, Unit 8? What's the to be known?
Yeah, so Unit 8, we are artificial intelligence and data analytics service provider. And we help non-digital native companies solve important issues and turn the data into value. So our primary customers, you know, would be companies with a lot of legacy, a lot of great history. Some of our customers have 120, 150 years of history. And usually those companies are really great in what they do, but not necessarily great in digital data and analytics. And here is where Unit 8 comes to the picture to help them.
Who are you as a company? What does Unit 8 do?
Well, so, you know, we accompany our customers end to end in this journey to being data driven. And we have three pillars in our offering. Depending on the maturity of the customer, we might start with really business level consulting, right? So there we're going to put in place people who have management consulting background, and we help answer questions such as, where are we going with our analytics efforts? What sort of, you know, use cases we should start with? How the company should be structured in a modern way to deliver on analytics? Usually when those questions are answered, the next question is, okay, how do we do it? And here comes the IT consulting bit, which should answer the questions on how do we do it? So which platform do we pick? You know, which set of tools is best for us? Which set of technologies, tech stacks would be best suited to meet the needs of the customer? So that's the consulting bit. And then our core value is in delivery. So we would, you know, basically provide the customer with help in building up the infrastructure, then all the data engineering services, data science services, up to your really visualization layer on top. And the third last pillar is, once this job is done and, you know, the use cases are already working and in production, we can help the customer to operate the solution. And here comes our operation services bit.
That's fascinating. So there are a lot of companies in this space. Your story sounds super interesting, I believe, because it starts with understanding what the customer needs when they don't even know what they need, and then basically being able to implement all the way. Mm-hmm. Now, probably a few others would claim that as well. Why have you chosen to actually found Unit 8 versus to go work in some other place who will claim a similar thing?
Yeah, so this dates back, you know, to 2017 when with my co-founder, Miha, we decided to start Unit 8. At the time, I was still working for Swisscom. I've been leading a large team of nearly 200 people focusing on analytics solely. My co-founder was at the time in Palantir Technologies in the US. And, you know, we really had this feeling and strong impression that on the market, especially in Switzerland, there are many companies which are really in need of this sort of services. And there are actually very few companies which answer this specific need. So there are many horizontal IT players, many consultancies out there, but they really cover the whole space of IT landscape. And our proposition is really occupying this narrow yet very rich and very powerful niche of analytics data services.
Excellent. Well, I'm always impressed talking with an entrepreneur who took his or her vision and turned it into a viable business. So thanks for spending time with us today. That's the time where I hand over to my co-host, Philippe, to start double-clicking a bit into the customer value proposition and how our partnership will generate added value for all stakeholders.
Thank you very much, Thomas. So, Marcin, let's make a step back and then deep dive a little bit, okay? So what I did is I went, as I always do with all the partners, I go on their website and try to see how they present themselves. And on your website, it says, solving your most impactful problems via big data and AI. For those that don't know what your offering is, and I understand you did already start elaborating a little bit on what you do, please explain us exactly what that means. You mentioned before niche player, data engineering, data science services. Why would a company need all that?
You know, I think it's probably best explained with an example, because this, I think, speaks best. So depending on the area and the vertical, this might mean very different things. But let's pick example of big pharma. So big pharma, one of big areas in pharma is production and manufacturing, right? So very often the factories that are producing either medical equipment or drugs are running on huge volumes of product. By bringing analytics to the table and understanding, you know, the whole chain of delivery of those products, and by bringing artificial intelligence to improve certain parts of that process, you can get tangible financial gains. So for instance, you know, we helped one of the top 10 big pharma companies on planet optimize their hormone production line. And the net result was 10% improvement in efficiency. So yeah, I don't need to explain you that this brings huge financial gains. And of course, you know, we could spend whole podcast just talking about this particular case, but this is just one example. If we pick, for instance, area of fragrance creation, which is quite fascinating space, we are helping company which is specialized in creating perfumes to create the fragrances in more data-driven way. So they've been for centuries creating new formulas with trial and error. When you have an expert perfumer and chemist who knows very well his area, and by trial and error and experimentation can come up with a new formula. Now, by bringing data and artificial intelligence to the table, you can automate part of that process and produce fragrances that otherwise couldn't be created, or produce certain fragrances much faster. So to explain how it works is you build a neural net that basically based on, you know, millions of past examples of fragrances that the company has created, can come up with a proposal of a formula that will help the perfumer to create the new one.
So let me recap a little bit. So your mission is to unlock the potential of digital and guide your customers through the journey of transforming their business. But the way you explained it, with great examples, I have to say, the way you explained it is you already are starting off with the solution of what you're trying to achieve. When you're having your conversations with your customers, how does that typically look like? Are they coming to you and saying, mm-hmm. we have a business issue, a business problem? Or is mm-hmm. it immediately you talk to the data scientists on the customer side and then they already know we just need a little bit support around creating the code, whatever?
That's an excellent question. So the answer is it really depends on the maturity of the customer. So let me give you two distinct pictures. We have some customers who are already further down the road of development. So they understood the power of artificial intelligence, analytics, and data science. And there the discussion is very often about particular problems. So the customer cannot solve problem A or needs help, you know, for instance, to scale certain solution. So there we quickly go on fairly technical level, because I would say, you know, we very quickly talk eye to eye. And those are, I would say, still minority of customers, at least on the Swiss market. And then on the other side of spectrum, there are customers which are on the very beginning of the journey. And here comes the consulting bit that I explained to you in the very beginning. So we need to start from scratch. So we need to start thinking about first understanding how the business of the customer works, and then finding the areas in this business which could be improved or amplified with use of data and analytics. So this is the first exercise that we go through. Usually this is done in practice via, you know, human-centered design workshops, via brainstorming sessions, and small consulting engagements. And usually from there, you can identify the high potential areas within the customer value chain and within the customer business, which would be a good candidate for first delivery or first POC.
So I take there is no standard scenario that you just take and push it across all the potential customers that you have. It's really tailor-made based on what status, maturity level a customer is when it comes to big data and AI, and also in terms of on what level they are in their transformation. Is that correct?
Well, there are, of course, certain patterns and type of personas we talk to, and those needs are similar. But I would say there is a lot of proximity to the customer, and that's one of our unique value, to be really close to the customer business and make a tailor-made solution. Now, of course, there are certain commonalities. So no matter, you know, which industry you work for, no matter which vertical, most customers need to, you know, collect the data, govern the data, process the data in a systematic way. And this is something that we definitely help them to do. And that's very common through banking, insurance, chemical, pharma, up to automotive.
So regulatory issues have no effect whatsoever when you're discussing with customers?
Oh, no. Of course, they do have huge impact, especially if we are talking about insurance and banking space. This is additional, very important layer of complexity on top of already fairly complex tech ecosystem, because you need to meet a lot of very tough regulatory requirements.
So I was reading on your website a statement that struck me. It says that, especially for FSI, I'm taking insurances into account, around regulatory, they consider innovation as a luxury. That's why they would like to keep the status quo as it is. It's a little bit provocative, I would say, because not all banks and insurances would feel that way. Say more.
Well, yeah, that's maybe, as you said, a little bit provocatory sentence. The truth is that analytics and data are also becoming essential element of solving many complex regulatory issues. So the banks are using more and more data, analytics, and artificial intelligence to prove to the regulator that the risks are managed in an appropriate way.
How about pharma?
In pharma, it's probably similar. However, to be frank with you, in this space, we haven't been exposed to this type of projects. But I think in pharma, very likely those issues are similar.
So are you focused around specific verticals, or you say we are independent from the verticals or the industries, however you want to look at it? Or are you more focused around a certain size of companies? So when I say size, I'm talking about enterprises versus small, medium corporates or small, medium businesses.
Yeah, so our sweet spot is really around enterprises. And there we have, you know, experience, which is very broad, from insurance, banking, chemical, fragrance and flavors, up to automotive and manufacturing sectors. And the way we work with the customer is that we bring to the table the digital bit, you know, the skills in algorithms, the skills in infrastructure, the skills in analytics, which usually the customer is missing. And we do not try to be better than the customer is in their area of expertise. So the way it works is we always team up and work very tightly with the customer, and the customer brings in the domain expertise and we bring the missing bit. And this has proven to be working really, really well in many cases.
So coming back on the topic of digital transformation, can you provide us with your views and angles of, if you observe throughout, I would say, the last 2 years, how that has been happening in the market, depending on your experience? What did you see, and could you predict maybe where things are going?
Yeah, so digital transformation has been on the radar of the decision makers in most of the modern enterprises in Switzerland. And that's a good thing. And also we see emergence of initiatives such as Digital Switzerland, which is bringing these things also step forward with rising attention of the whole population of the country and bringing more attention on the topics. And here, again, I think there are probably several categories. So we do see, I would say, really leaders and companies that could be role models with this regard, where the digital transformation is really a very serious endeavor, where the leaders are really taking it seriously, when there has been a huge investment into, you know, development of strategies, but also skills, infrastructure, and attracting the relevant talent. And those companies already start to collect fruits of that. But still, there is probably quite a portion of companies that is lagging a bit behind and that could do more in that space.
So you mentioned that, I mean, some of your past, you used to work at Swisscom before you created your own company. You now mentioned another trigger word, which was IoT. Mm-hmm. So if I'm combining those two words together, Swisscom, telco, 5G, and IoT, what comes up?
To be also very frank with you, as Unitate, we are not working in that space, at least not at the moment. So I can only give you my, let's say, outside perspective.
But I'm interested in understanding how far would 5G, the moment 5G is then spread out, because it will have a huge impact on IoT, machine learning, big data and AI. How far will that affect your business and what are you mm-hmm. hoping to gain out of that development? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So here we can play with certain hypotheses. You know, one thing that is for certain, 5G means superior speed of the connectivity and also a big boost for IoT because, you know, of several power requirements that are coming with 5G. So this means that in practice, we're going to have even more data being generated by more devices and more machines. So if I think of probable result of 5G for our business, is I think there will be even more need for type of skills and services that we are providing, because companies will need to manage those data to harness the power of this new technology.
So if we spin that hypothesis a little bit further, assume we would speed up time and say, it's here. 5G is here. The need for your skill set has increased. And now we make a step into your partnership with Microsoft. What does that mean? What would you wish from Microsoft? Are there any wishes to Microsoft? Everything is fine and no wishes. Everything is good. Or if you spin a little bit into the future, what kind of message would you tell the sales organization of Microsoft, but also the customers out there in the market, because they're both groups of listeners that we have. So what are your thoughts there?
You know, I would first broaden it up beyond 5G and IoT, because I think that's important, but just one aspect of the whole analytics and artificial intelligence story. In terms of my thoughts, I think Microsoft is in a perfect position in this space if we fast forward a few years from now, because if you think what you will need to harness the power of those huge data assets is scalable infrastructure, it's storage, it's a lot of flexible compute power, and it's a lot of easy to use tools that will allow you to process the data and extract value from them. And that's all that is provided by Microsoft Cloud. And I think the importance of the cloud will be even stronger if we think of those trends that we discussed.
And where does Unit 8 come into play here?
Well, so Unit 8 and Microsoft, I think our offerings are really complementary, right? So we can help customers to understand those technologies. We can bring the necessary know-how and skills to the table. And we have the proximity to the client through our local presence. And we can this way leverage in the best possible way the immense scale and possibilities that Microsoft offers.
So what you're saying is we have a great partnership. We complement each other. So if I would go out to customers and ask them, what do you think about Unit 8 and their skill set? What would they say?
So we heard from customers a lot of positive words. So we are seen as a true enabler and true catalyst of transformation. And that makes me really proud, because I can tell you that being able to put our dent in a company that has 200 years of legacy and being able to move a little bit the needle for them, it's really great pleasure for me and for the team. So when we hear this sort of feedback, yeah, for me, this is a good reason to wake up in the morning.
So why do customers actually choose you and not one of your competitors? That's maybe also a very important message that you could bring across.
Yeah, definitely. So here there are a few things. So first of all, deep focus and expertise, right? So again, there are many players out there which are horizontal IT provider. Our sole focus is analytics. We cover this space end to end, but this is the only thing we do. And thanks to that, we have level of expertise and attention that very few players out there can compete with. We have quite incredible team. I haven't mentioned that yet, but I think it's worth mentioning. We have on board people who work for companies such as Palantir, a few Googlers, several people from brands such as Amazon. We even have a person coming from Apple who worked on machine learning in there. And that's also unique. There are no other companies that I would know of on the market that have that level and depth of skills. And the last bit, which is crucial, is the culture that we built in the company. So it's a culture of team spirit, creation, innovation, and empowerment. And this really can be seen very, very quickly by our customers. We got this feedback on several occasions. Customers worked with these mega vendors. And when we entered and, you know, started delivering on projects, we got feedback from several of our customers that, whoa, this is really different. The level of commitment, the level of engagement of the team is on completely another level. So it's something exceptional. And I think the combination of those things make us very different than any other company actually out there.
Would you agree to say that all the points that you mentioned around the culture that your company has are similar points that we from Microsoft bring along? And that's why this partnership works quite well and we complement each other so well.
Look, absolutely. And that's the reason why we decided to go for the partnership as well. We started with first chat nearly 2 years ago. And of course, there is technology aspect, there is innovation aspect, there is cloud, which is very important. But from the perspective of our team, we quickly saw that the team in Microsoft is quite like-minded. And this is very important for us. So we really enjoy working with people and teams who have similar culture and similar, you know, level of commitments. And we saw that in Microsoft. And that's why we also decided to go forward together. And that's why I think we will enjoy very successful partnership in the years to come.
So with that, I would like to end my part of the interview. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the interview. And thank you very much for your partnership. And back to you, Thomas.
Thank you. That was super interesting to kind of hear the whole story and where you're going. So also what I found particularly interesting, you mentioning that point that when the curtain lifts and the result is there, that's always impactful. But you also talked a little bit about that journey it takes to understand each other, figure out what's the mutual value proposition, find the overlap, build the technology, that some of these things take time. And I think in our short-lived world, acknowledging that some things do take time and it gets better with time was, I think, also a great point to highlight. Sometimes we want the proverbial baby with 9 ladies in 1 month, and some things need collaboration to build it up for them to deliver great success. So thanks so much for being here with us this afternoon and sharing your insights.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you. And everybody, have a successful week. Thank you.